Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, it's Casper.
And Vanessa.
And this week we're so excited to welcome into your feeds a listening delight from our friends Bayana and Robin at Black Girls Create.
So instead of hearing from us this week, what you are going to do instead is hear from their podcast, Wizard Team. Bayana and Robin have been on Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. They've been on Women of Harry Potter. I've been lucky enough to be on Wizard Team before. It is a wonderful podcast, and they're going to be joining us at our summer camp. So needless to say, we are on the Bayana and Robin train. But we thought that white voices are not what anybody needs to hear this week, and so we thought we would offer you some awesome Black Potterhead content. So we want to thank Bayana and Robin for letting us use their Wizard Team episode here today. Go check out their podcast, subscribe, check out all of the amazing things that they're up to at blackgirlscreate.org.
We'll see you all again next week. Enjoy this wonderful episode.
Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week, we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the world of Harry Potter. Be warned that this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Robin.
And I'm Bayana. We're really excited to go through these chapters and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the book. Today, we're discussing Chapter 33 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, The Death Eaters.
We have some announcements and reminders. We want this podcast to be interactive and want to know your thoughts, so please feel free to tweet along with us. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to follow.
Submit to Hogwarts BSU and imagine your life as a Black Hogwarts student or life as a Black Hogwarts student. Check out blackgirlscreate.org for guidelines and other awesome stories.
Love our blog, love Wizard Team, have a few extra galleons lying around. Consider becoming a Patronus. We're video recording the Wizard Team episodes, and Patroni have access to those videos and access to a live chat room to participate in the recording at $10 or more per month.
If you want to donate but can't do a monthly donation, you can send us a cheering charm by donating to our PayPal. You can find the links to do so at blackgirlscreate.org/donate.
And we now have Wizard Team merch, so head over to our website and step up your nerd fashion and stationery game.
If you want to support us but don't have the funds to do so, or even if you do, rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to us every week. Just, you know, put a little review on there. Sprinkle some stars on us. You know what I'm saying?
Sprinkle a little review. Also subscribe to our newsletter. Every week, our wizard bae, Deborah, shares nerd news and links to what's been going on in the world. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Go to blackgirlscreate.org to subscribe. And shout out again to Deborah for just killing the newsletter game.
Cool.
Oh, God.
So let's get into...
Okay, so thank you for listening to Wizard Team. We will see you next week. Everything is terrible. And bye.
Yeah, so just kidding. Previously on Wizard Team, Bone Thugs and Harmony did a concert in the graveyard of Little Hangleton.
Flesh and blood bone.
And that's what happened.
Bone.
So I think we can now move on. And Nearly Headless Nick still hasn't been accepted into the Headless Hunt. But, you know, we got some other things happening right now. We'll check in with him at another time, because that's the least of our worries at the moment. Robin is still dancing. Not sure why.
I'm doing the Backstreet. You know, this one? No? Okay. I was dancing because you started with the Bone Thugs and Harmony thing.
I did.
And because I'm trying to delay getting into this chapter.
I know. As much as possible. I know. It's not good, but it's really insightful and a little bit fascinating, actually. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right. Chapter 33, The Death Eaters. So Voldemort, I mean, I guess this is important. Voldemort has a body again. So that's a thing. He's back.
Sorry. It took me a little bit to catch it, and then I caught it. It got me good. Whew.
I aim to please. So Voldemort looked away from Harry and began examining his body. He held up his hands and flexed his fingers, his expression rapt and exultant. He took not the slightest notice of Wormtail, which is fucked up. This dude just did all this, cut off his literal hand.
Literally cut off his hand for you. And
you're just like not caring. You're the worst.
I just don't want this. And I feel like Harry is still tied to a gravestone, just being like, the fuck? How many times have I read this book?
A lot.
How many times? I don't even know. I don't even know how many times I've read this book. And every time I'm like grasping my afro in just horror and helplessness.
Yeah, ooh, it's not good. So he slips one of his fingers or one of his hands into a deep pocket and draws out his wand, which I'm curious because he didn't have a body for a really long time. So how did he keep his wand and like, where was it? Like it didn't like drop and like, it wasn't in Godric's Hollow. Was it in Albania with him?
Probably made Wormtail go find it.
You saw what?
He probably made Wormtail go find it. Like, when Wormtail went and found him, they probably went about picking up the pieces of his life.
But then, like, that's so long to go find your wand.
Right. Like, why? Like, we will see Harry go visit his childhood home, and they haven't, like, they kind of hide it from Muggles, but they haven't really, like, changed anything.
That's true.
It's got, like, a plaque in front of it. I'm thinking about the studio tour.
I know.
And that terrible, terrible, terrible child. But you would think that after Harry survives, the Aurors would like sweep the place. Like, what do they do?
Right.
They just arrest innocent people, get shit wrong, and then they don't even like pick up the wand left at the crime scene and get rid of it? You don't want to make sure that the most, like, evilest wizard of all time can't get his wand back? Or did he get a new wand?
Right. But he definitely didn't. So wait, really quickly, Portia brought something up that I forgot to put in the news. She asked, like, so there's a fan fiction, web series about Voldemort coming out pretty soon. And so Portia asks if the series will cover that part, and I'm not clear because it's mainly covering like his life after Hogwarts. So I'm not sure like how long of like the span they're gonna cover, but that's possible. But
and Imani just like got it right, probably. Like, you probably got
I don't. I don't think that works either. Actually,
assuming Snape picked it up because he's trash.
No, I don't think that works either because, as we see, Voldemort doesn't think that Snape's on his side at this moment. So he couldn't have gotten it from Snape because he thinks Snape is with Dumbledore right now. So because Snape hasn't reached out to him or tried to find him or anything.
Yeah, but
like just timeline wise, it doesn't work.
Could Snape have given it to a Death Eater or something when he went and cried over Lily's dead? Did he cry over Lily's dead body, or is that just in the movie?
I feel like it's just in the movie, but I can't remember specifically.
Because I don't think, but anyway, we don't know how he got, because it is the same wand, which is how prior incantatum works, but somehow Pettigrew got his wand back after.
Unless it just, like, you know, dissolved in a wisp of smoke just like he did or some
with
shit.
Him. He just kept it with him.
Right. Because, I don't know. I feel like that part it feels like a hole that should be explained. Like, you know, some things it's like you have questions and you don't really need the answer, but I feel like this needs an answer.
But I also feel like she wasn't expecting us to be going through this book with a fine-tooth comb.
Oh, well.
So she's like, listen, y'all were just supposed to, like, when you read it through, you're like, yeah, okay, he's got his wand.
Nope. Nope.
But little did she know what she unleashed in us, in these nerds.
Yeah.
She's
so,
got a lot of questions.
Portia theorizes that maybe Crouch Senior had it and then Junior took it. And Amani thinks that maybe Peter took it when Snape was knocked out in Prisoner of Azkaban, but I doubt Snape, if he did have it, would, like, carry it with him.
Keep it. Yeah, he's not.
Because I think at this point, once Voldemort's gone, he seems really committed to just, like, moving on with his life. And then only when Voldemort comes back does he, like, does that part of his life kind of open again? You know what I mean? Like, he's still trash, but I think at that point, Voldemort's gone, and he's like, all right, cool, I got a secure position. I'm, like, if Voldemort doesn't come back, fine. I'm cool.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think the idea that Crouch Sr. has it would make sense, because that means that, like, an Aurora would have picked it up, and it was entered into evidence or something like that.
Right.
And it is, like, you don't go destroying evidence or whatever, but we also, if on the Amani's Snape tip, Snape never really rejects the idea of blood purity. He just
I'm not saying that he got over that. So I'm not saying he got over the ideal.
I'm saying
he got over Voldemort until he came back and was like, oh shit, okay, I gotta get back into that or whatever.
Yeah, no. I'm not. But what I'm saying is that, at the end of the day, Snape is also a nerd, and the idea of, like, having the wand of the most powerful dark wizard so he could study it, so he could, you know, like, that makes sense to me, on not on some, like, I'm keeping this out of some kind of love and adoration for Voldemort, but I'm keeping this because it holds, it can, like, it might help me unlock some power understanding into magic. And, like, the levels of, like, magic that Voldemort was able to accomplish, and on that nerd shit, you know what I mean? Like, the same way that people keep, like, Hitler's papers, like, that doesn't mean that they're Nazis, right? It just means that they are just, like, on some nerd, I keep, you know, like, it's an important piece of history. I'm not gonna let it go. So, I think either one of those are good theories. We won't never know the answer, unless Joe comes on this podcast, which could possibly happen if someone would stop tearing her to pieces on Twitter.
It was one time.
Awkward.
And, like, why are you bringing up bullshit? So he raised his wand. So what we can agree on is that it's definitely his regular wand, because, like, it has to be for all this magic shit to work. So that's a thing.
Right.
Okay, so he pointed his wand at Wormtail, who was lifted off the ground and thrown against the headstone where Harry was tied. He fell to the floor of it and lay there crumpled and crying. That's, again, this dude literally just brought you back to life. And you're like, cool, I'm gonna like beat you up. For what reason?
Cause he is a sadomasochist. Like, what reason? Speaking of someone who just got finished watching an episode of Game of Thrones, what reason do any of those characters have for being that goddamn masochistic? Like, any of them. Like, I understand being at war, but, like, the runaway Night's Watchmen, the trash ones, you know who I'm talking about, in Craster's Keep, like, why are they that?
Like, right, that's true.
Gross.
Ramsay Snow.
Why
is he that? Yeah.
Or Ramsay Bolton, like, that? Why you gotta go that far? Why?
It's true. Amani says because people are trash, but also that's like a special kind of trash. That's like, right? That's not that a regular like, trash human being. Humans are trash in general. That's like another level of.
This is the Hall of Fame.
What's after trash? Like, what is the next step
this
above
is garbage.
Trash?
Garbage. This is that like bougie trash. This is that like compost. This is compost. That's what this is. Because you can reuse it.
Oh, God.
It's so trashy that it becomes reusable.
Oh, my God.
It grows more trash. I don't know. But yeah, I think that Voldemort, one of the things that I really kind of like about the writing of the character, because we got into this earlier in the Wizard Team Slack, someone thought that I was, because I like the writing of certain villainous characters, I like those characters. It's not true. But in the writing of Voldemort, I really do appreciate is that he has willingly just cast aside any semblance of humanity. And he kind of... I'm sorry. He kind of reminds me of Toupé Fiasco, in which he demands loyalty, but then is like the least loyal person and will just literally toss you aside the minute you are no longer useful to him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand those types of people. Like, I just don't understand them, and I still don't understand why they're Death Eaters. Like, it boggles the mind. Like, you had 11 years, or 14 years of this dude being gone, and you weren't like, you know what? Being in, like, living in, like, abject terror of my leader, that wasn't nice. I didn't like that. I didn't enjoy that. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I mean, I think this chapter is, like, I mean, it's called The Death Eaters, but I think this chapter really does show a lot about it's also like half villainsplaining, but it shows a lot about like Voldemort's own like psyche, I think.
Right.
And I think some of the Death Eaters as well, and how they like kind of worship him. So let's move on so we can get to that. So Wormtail's robes were shining with blood now. He had wrapped the stump of his arm in them. My lord, you did promise. Hold out your arm, said Voldemort lazily. Oh, master, thank you, master. He extended the blading stump, and Voldemort laughed again. The other arm, Wormtail. So, really quick, he's gonna die of blood loss, right? Like, and Voldemort is in no hurry.
Mm-mm. But also, Peter, you couldn't have codified that wound, like, right away. Like, you're in pain, I know. But you got magic. You could have put some fire on that bitch and, like, made a stump real quick.
That's true.
So,
but you know, I mean, caught up in the moment.
He didn't want to mess it up because he thought Voldemort would just be like, here's your arm back.
Right.
Like I promised. Like I said I would do.
But Voldemort's like, ha 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 ha. You bend to my will.
We got time. So he bent down and pulled out Wormtail's left arm. He forced the sleeve of Wormtail's robes up past his elbow. It's back, he said softly. They will all have noticed it. And now we shall see. Now we shall know. And he presses his long white fingers to the dark mark branded on Wormtail's arm. The scar on Harry's forehead seared with a sharp pain again, and Wormtail let out a fresh howl. Voldemort removed his fingers from Wormtail's mark, and Harry saw that it had turned jet black. A look of cruel satisfaction in his face, Voldemort straightened up. How many will be brave enough to return when they feel it? And how many will be foolish enough to stay away? He began to pace up and down before Harry and Wormtail, eyes sweeping the graveyard all the while. Still not helping Harry out. Like, still not helping him out. Or not Harry. Still not helping Wormtail out. You stand there, Harry Potter, upon the remains of my late father, a muggle and a fool, very like your dear mother. But they both had their uses, did they not? Your mother died to defend you as a child, and I killed my father, and see how useful he has proved himself in death. Voldemort laughed again. Up and down he paced, looking around him. You see that house upon the hillside, Potter? My father lived there. My mother, a witch who lived here in this village, fell in love with him, but he abandoned her when she told him what she was. He didn't like magic, my father. He left her and returned to his muggle parents before I was even born, Potter, and she died giving birth to me, leaving me to be raised in a muggle orphanage, but I vowed to find him. I revenged myself upon him, that fool who gave me his name, Tom Riddle. Like, he got his entire origin story wrong.
That's and the funniest part about
all
it.
All had to pay. We all had to pay for it.
Yeah, like, that's like the part about it, right? Like, he's literally like, one, the fact that again he's like telling he has so much time, so he's just like, I'm gonna just meander, I'm gonna like reminisce and like let Harry know all these things about me, and then like literally all this stuff is wrong.
All of it.
Like
His entire understanding of his birth and his, like, young life is wrong. And
like, literally, like, he says he abandoned his mother when she told him what he was. That's wrong. Right. He didn't like magic. That's, I mean, I wouldn't either if somebody had used magic to, like, bend me to their will.
Right.
And assault me. He didn't give him his name. That's also false. Like,
right, that fool who gave me his name, like, no,
that was your
if
mama,
he abandoned
Sam.
You before you were born, how did he give
then
you
how would that work?
Also, Portia brings up a very good point that we just need to acknowledge, which is, how great would life be if Voldemort was impotent after being a wisp for so long? And I still am wondering how he's not impotent, because I still, unless, like I said, that cloudy water in the potion was holding something else, I don't understand. Also, he couldn't get his nose back, and yet...
Yeah.
Like, his nose, which is just cartilage. Like, it's really, like, nothing...
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's cartilage and some nerve endings. But that other thing, I just... veins and blood and
so he says, listen to me, reliving family history, why I'm growing quite sentimental, which I mean, how old is he, like 70 something? Like, okay, yeah, that's what happens,
right? And while you're reliving family history, yo Roald Dogg, the only one
still bleeding out on the ground.
Bleeding out on the
ground. Oh my god.
But look, Harry, my true family returns. The air was suddenly full of swishing cloaks. Between graves, behind the yew tree, in every shadowy place, wizards were apparating. All of them were hooded and masked, and one by one they moved forward, slowly, cautiously, as though they could hardly believe their eyes. Voldemort stood in silence, waiting for them. Then one of the Death Eaters fell to his knees, crawled toward Voldemort, and kissed the hems of his black robes. Master... Master, he murmured. The Death Eaters behind him did the same, each of them approaching Voldemort on his knees and kissing his robes before backing away and standing up, forming a silent circle, which enclosed Tom Riddle's grave, Harry, Voldemort, and the sobbing and twitching heap that was Wormtail. So dirty. They left gaps in the circle as though waiting for more people. Voldemort, however, did not seem to expect more. He looked around at the hooded faces, and though there was no wind, a rustling seemed to run around the circle as though it had shivered. Welcome, Death Eaters, said Voldemort quietly. 13 years. 13 years since we last met, yet you answer my call as though it was yesterday. We are still united under the dark mark then. Or are we?
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. He put back his terrible face and sniffed, his slit-like nostrils widening. Slit-like nostrils, because it couldn't get his nose back, and yet... Ellipses. I smell guilt.
I taste salt. That's also in the
you
air.
Taste salt?
Lots of salt as well. Just, you know... real salty. It's a little too much.
I see you all whole and healthy with your powers intact. This is how I read this now. With like the hand motion and the neck. And basically we should actually, let me do it this way. Let me actually do it the way I really read it.
Okay.
I see you all whole and healthy with your powers intact and such prompt appearances. And I ask myself, where did the spirit of wisdom come into my aid as a master? Who this for the eternal loyalty? What? Where you been? What happened? Where was you?
No one spoke. No one moved except Wormtail, who was still bleeding. And I answer myself, they must have believed me broken, thought I was gone. They slipped back amongst my enemies, and they pled innocence and ignorance and bewitchment. And then I ask myself, but how could they have believed I would not rise again? They who knew the steps I took long ago to guard myself against mortal death, they who had seen proofs of the immensity of my power in the times when I was mightier than any wizard living. So I have a question, though, because he says... they who knew the steps I took to guard myself against mortal death. He didn't tell that. Like, I'm curious what he told them exactly, because I don't think any of them really know that he has Horcruxes, right? Like, so I'm wondering, like...
He says they knew the steps he took to guard himself. I think they know he has Horcruxes. They don't know how many. They don't know where. They don't know what they are.
Got it.
But I think they know that he has Horcruxes, because that goes back to, oh, God damn it. I cannot separate sometimes what happened in the movie and what happened in the book when I'm not reading the book. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It gets cloudy and I'm mad.
Yeah.
So this may have just been in the movie, but he remarks about Lucius fucking up. With the diary.
No, he does, because...
I know.
Yeah, no, that is in the book.
I know.
Like, this is, yeah, that is in the book. Like, he gave it to Lucius to guard, but didn't tell him what it was. And it's the same with the cup with Bellatrix. Like, he gave it to her to guard, but didn't tell her what it was.
Yeah, so I think that, like... so I think they know... but don't know, like, the particulars, which is smart. Like, he, like, Karkaroff says, like, he was very smart. Like, they know that there are a lot of Death Eaters, but they don't know who everyone is. He keeps his secrets, you know? He tells them just enough to keep them, to get them to follow him and to be terrified, because we know that, like, creating a Horcrux is, like, you have to be on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, right? If he tells them that he created more than one, we don't know. Like, I don't think he said, like, I created 7 Horcruxes and here, like, I don't think he did, like, all of that. But, like, he's probably like, you know, I've made a couple Horcruxes in my time, and they were like, well, goddamn it.
A couple. Portia says, we should have read Ask Myself Like a Preacher, and Pettigrew should say, well...
Well.
And then I ask myself, but how could they have believed I would not rise again? Talk about it. And I answer myself.
And then the organ goes.
Perhaps they believed a still greater power could exist, one that could vanquish even Lord Voldemort. Perhaps they now pay allegiance to another. Perhaps that champion of commoners, of mudbloods and muggles, Albus Dumbledore. At the mention of Dumbledore's name, he's so salty. So salty. Like, he's just an ocean. And that's... No, he's like, you know, like the salt banks when like the water dries out and it's only salt.
Wait, why did Amon? Never mind. Keep going. There's a black church service happening in the chat. Keep pushing.
I love
our Patroni so goddamn much.
Okay, and then Voldemort goes, I'm not mad, just disappointed. That's it. That's really? Pretty much what he said. He's just like, really? After not, all you're that.
Mad? You're not mad, though, because...
You sound mad. Sounds like you're mad.
Insert meme here. Why are you so mad?
Like, you mad, bro? You mad, bro?
Sound like you mad.
So one of the men suddenly flung himself forward, breaking the circle. Trembling from head to foot, he collapsed at Voldemort's feet. Master, forgive me. Forgive us all. Voldemort began to laugh. He raised his wand. Crucio. The Death Eater on the ground writhed and shrieked. Harry was sure the sound must carry to the houses around. Let the police come, he thought desperately. Anyone, anything. What the police gonna do, though, fam? Like, I get it. He's in shock and he's, like, freaking out. But the police?
Somebody. Because they got those metal wands that they're so fucked up. Even though they don't.
Right.
Because it's right. Britain.
Right. So literally they're just gonna show up and then what? Die? Whoever calls, they gonna come and they gonna die. So there's really no reason for anybody. Everybody's dead.
Listen. Harry is just grasping at straws.
I know. So I can't really fault him.
Lord,
like,
bring me a miracle. Lord.
Yeah. Something.
Bring me a miracle.
So Voldemort raised his wand. The tortured Death Eater lay flat upon the ground, gasping. Get up, Avery. Stand up. You ask for forgiveness? I do not forgive. I do not forget. 13 long years. I want 13 years repayment before I forgive you. Damn.
Right?
That is a long... I mean, okay. Wormtail here has paid some of his debts already, have you not? Some of them?
Some. Not all.
Some?
Mm-mm.
He been milking you. He cut his hand off. He got Bertha Jorkins for you. He did so many things and he hasn't really paid his 13 years. Nah. Yo, he was on the run too. Like, actually, I'm confused.
Actually, though, because Wormtail not only did all of that, but he also got Harry Potter for you. It's not his fault you fucked that up.
Right. That's Snape's fault. For not
looking. He gave you the Potters on a plate.
Right. Also, you chose the Potters. That's totally your fault, actually. Nobody told you it was the Potters. So,
right.
I'm confused about this.
Neville Longbottom and the Goblet of Fire. yes.
You return to me, not out of loyalty, but out of fear for your old friends. You deserve this pain, Wormtail. You know that, don't you? So, he's clear. I mean, all the things that have happened, like, very clearly he's abusive, but he's also verbally abusive. But also sees right through Wormtail, and also was not totally wrong.
There's so many layers.
It's just a lot of things.
He knows.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, too, I just feel really crappy. Like, not siding with Voldemort, but, like, understanding his thinking, I guess. Like, I'm not by any means like saying,
like, well, I mean, like I said, like this chapter is very much about his like
villain,
like, yeah, and how his like how his mind works and his psyche, and like, so yeah
but
no one's siding with him.
Voldemort, again, there's something in him that like craves unfettered loyalty and worship. Really, he wants to be a godlike figure to the Death Eaters. And so anything that isn't any kind of calculation, like the only person that really gives Voldemort what he craves in terms of the Death Eaters is Bellatrix, because Bellatrix will do whatever for her mans. You know what I mean? Like, she's not... There's no ulterior motive. She, like, believes fully in him. She wants him. Yes, Amani, toupee fiasco. We know. God. Y'all don't, like, why doesn't society read? The Voldemort comparisons were happening all throughout the election. Anyway, this is our happy place. But, like, she's the only one that, like, doesn't have kind of an ulterior motive. She fully believes in his cause of blood purity. She fully believes in him. And she's fully willing to give her own life and her own security in order to, like, do his bidding, right? That's not really how people work, though. Like, in general, there's some sort of self-serving something. Like, even, like, they talk about this in, like, the context of, like, giving and, like, charity and philanthropy is, like, you get a sense, like, you get a sense of, like, feel good when you give, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And that's what makes people give. Like, even when they have, like, you know, I just want to be, God, what am I trying to say? I just, like, want to do something good. Like, even that gives them, like, a rush of endorphins and things, right? So humans just in general don't really do shit without some kind of self-serving motive. Mm-hmm. So the idea that, like, his followers are going to just drop everything for 13 years and scour the country looking for him with no sign of, like, why. And also, like, dude, let's be honest, you got by a one-year-old. So
right. How powerful are you, really?
Like, wouldn't they be like, oh, who am I putting my lot in? He got by a one-year-old? Like,
right. Right.
The baby?
Also,
you say he killed the parents, but the baby survived?
Right. And I'm, yeah. So Portia and Amani in the chat, I just want to go to that real quick. Portia says she doesn't get why Voldemort is so stubborn. If Harry lived and caused you to lose one of your lives, why not go after Neville? And then Amani says because he's hard-headed, the fragile male ego stirring up because that's all he's got. He's the bully, so he has to prove that Potter is just got lucky and he's still the baddest on the block. I agree with those things, but also that's not how the prophecy works. So, like, I don't think that, once he went after Harry, Neville has nothing to do with it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, could have. Like, Voldemort marked Harry as his equal, and that was it. And Voldemort still thinks, right, like, you hear the prophecy that the one with the power to defeat you is coming, and then you go and he defeats you. So very clearly, like, he's not going to then turn to Neville. At that point, I wouldn't think. I think then he thinks, oh, yeah, I was right. It was Harry. And he goes after Harry to prove. And again, he has to prove it that he's like, I'm still powerful. And that's like what this whole chapter is about, is him like, that's why Harry's even there, really past giving the blood. And that's why he hasn't died yet, because Voldemort's like, nah, I really want to show that I got you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still the most powerful and whatever.
Yeah, I also think that when Voldemort marks Harry as his equal, like you said, like I said, his Death Eaters are going to be looking at him sideways, like the one-year-old. So there's something to this prophecy, right? Like, you can be defeated by this kid. And so it is very important to him to prove that he's not going to be defeated by this kid. Because I think that's the other part of it, is that everything that you said is right, but also that Harry is literally a child. Like, he's been he's known about his magic for 4 years. So to be the most powerful and, like, the master of death and all of the things that he did to guard himself against mortal death and then get bested by a child it rubs him the wrong way. And then Portia says why he got to believe in the prophecy, though. They're called self-fulfilling for a reason. And Biana says, that's the point.
I think also that he doesn't, as we, like, see and we've seen already, like, he discounts magic that he doesn't deem worthy. He, like, overestimates the power that he deems valuable, and he underestimates the magic that he doesn't deem valuable, right? So he thinks the prophecy is
right,
and doesn't like really take the time. He's just like, he's also impulsive, but like he doesn't take the time to think it through. He's like, nah, so there's someone out here who can defeat me that can't fly, that it's a prophecy, so it must be true. Again, he's overestimating it, right? He could have just let it go, but he didn't.
Which is really
he also misinterpreted it, right? Because the thing is that he misinterpreted the prophecy as well. He just read or heard that the one with the power to defeat him is here versus he's going to mark him as his equal. So it's just, you know what I mean? Like, part of it also is like Voldemort is flawed in a lot of ways, and that's also why he's as ridiculous as he is.
Yeah.
Yet you help return me to my body, said Voldemort to Wormtail. Worthless and traitorous as you are, you help me. And Lord Voldemort rewards his helpers and also speaks in the third person sometimes. So Voldemort raised his wand and whirled it into the air. A streak of what looked like molten silver hung shining in the wand's wake. Momentarily shapeless, it writhed and then formed itself into a gleaming replica of a human hand, and then soared downward and fixed itself upon Wormtail's bleeding wrist. Like, no antiseptic? Or, no? Okay.
I told y'all they all got Hep C now, because, like, he didn't have any, like, he didn't even try to sterilize the blade when he cut himself and then cut Harry and then cut, they all of them got the Hep.
They do.
All of them.
Harry Potter and Hepatitis C. okay, so Wormtail's sobbing stopped abruptly. His breathing harsh and ragged. He raised his hand and stared in disbelief at the silver hand. Raised his head, sorry. He attached seamlessly to his arm, as though he was wearing a dazzling glove. He flexed the shining fingers, then trembling, picked up a small twig on the ground and crushed it into powder. My lord, he whispered. Master, it is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And he scrambled forward on his knees and kissed the hem of Voldemort's robes. This is a Darth Vader, Darth Sidious moment, by the way.
Yeah.
May your loyalty never waver again, Wormtail, said Voldemort. No, my lord, never, my lord. So Wormtail stood up and took his place in the circle, and Voldemort turns to none other than Lucius Malfoy. Lucius, my slippery friend, he whispered, halting before him. I am told you have not renounced the old ways, though to the world you present a respectable face. You are still ready to take up the lead spot in Muggle torture, I believe. So again, like, this is also the chapter where we learn more specifics in, like, how these known/hidden Death Eaters, like, really behaved during the first, like, Wizarding War. Yet you never tried to find me, Lucius. Your exploits at the Quidditch World Cup were fun, I dare say, but might not your energies have been better directed toward finding and aiding your master? My lord, I was constantly...
Which is, like, so salty.
It's really salty.
It is
like,
just...
His blood pressure...
So ridiculous.
He just got a body. He just got his body back. But his blood pressure, fam, is high. So very
like,
high.
He's gonna go down the line. I mean, not really, because it's kind of just like, but basically it's going to go down the line and tell everyone what they did wrong and how they disappointed him. And it's like, we get it, yo. We didn't come find you, even though you got by a 1-year-old. So
Lucius, however, be trying to spin stuff, so he says, my lord, I was constantly on the alert. Had there been any sign from you, a whisper, or any whisper of your whereabouts, I would have been at your side immediately. Nothing could have prevented me. And yet you ran from my mark when the faithful Death Eater sent it into the sky last summer, said Voldemort. Yes, I know. Just bloop. Well.
How about that? Cash me outside. How about that?
Like, dude, that was a read. My God. He says, yes, I know all about that, Lucius. You have disappointed me. I expect more faithful service in the future. Like, to be honest, because again, like, y'all know, we're watching Game of Thrones. I was like, this is a Tywin Lannister moment, if there was any.
God.
Because, man.
Let me tell you about yourself. Let me tell you how you got it wrong. Let me tell you what you should have done. And then let me punish you for what you did. And then
we're going to move on.
Maybe we can move on. But I'm going to bring it up. Which I also really, like, one thing I really love about Salty Ass Voldemort was he said, I do not forgive. I do not forget. Like, point blank, period. Like, you're going to be hearing about this
for the rest of your life, basically.
Years.
Like, yep, at least.
For sure.
Might bring it up every once in a while after that.
At Thanksgiving, we're going to be at family dinner. I'm going to be like, pass me them potatoes like you didn't come pass me my life when I was gone.
Like 17 years down the line, everybody thinks they're good. They're like, I paid my debts. I'm good. He's going to bring it up randomly. They're like, oh, hell. Like, man. I'm sorry. I mean, I apologize.
Oh, I see you couldn't find my favorite soda. Just like you couldn't find me. I was gone. I see you, Lucia. Okay.
It's just petty.
Just so petty.
Of course.
Oh.
Of course, my lord.
Year. Oh. I didn't have a happy new year than 13 years I was missing and y'all didn't come by. But, you know, this is a good year, I guess.
Oh my gosh. So Voldemort moves on to, he moves on and stops staring at the space large enough for two people, a separated Malfoy from the next man. The Lestranges should stand here, but they are entombed, that is a word. They are entombed in Azkaban. They were faithful. They went to Azkaban rather than renounce me. When Azkaban is broken open, the Lestranges will be honored beyond their dreams. The Dementors will join us. They are our natural allies. We shall recall the banished giants. I shall have all of my devoted servants return to me and an army of creatures whom all feared. So one,
yeah, like,
when Azkaban is open, so he's there ands or buts about it. He said when. It's just a matter of when.
Obviously the Dementors.
It's happening. But also, like, he's literally just saying everything, and part of it is that he thinks Harry's gonna die tonight, so he's like, he can hear whatever the fuck, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, so he's just saying all these things, and you know, again, Voldemort has so many flaws, and this is why, like, things like this come back to bite him, and it's great. So he walked on. Some of the Death Eaters he passed in silence, but he paused before others and spoke to them. McNair: destroying dangerous beasts for the Ministry of Magic now, Wormtail tells me. You shall have better victims than that soon, McNair. Lord Voldemort will provide. Yuck. Again, also, the...
He tried to kill Buckbeak.
Oh, I was going to say also the third person use again. But yes, he tried to kill Buckbeak. Man. So.
Thank you.
Fuck him.
Thank you, murmured McNair. Like, y'all are so pressed. And I want to go into the chat room because... Question makes a good point. Like, which other wizards what other wizards will Voldemort recruit? He's stuck with the group of Death Eaters that came. So he can't, like, denounce all of them. And he can't, he's playing a very fine game here where he needs to, like, reassert his dominance and put fear back into their hearts, which he kind of just does by returning, right? You're like, oh, that's some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so he doesn't really need to go down the line and, like, do this, but, like, the reason why he's doing this is because, like, he knows, like, this is gonna be, it's gonna be harder to, like, get his army back. People have died, people have disappeared, people are going, like, Harkroff are gonna run away, and just not return to him. So he does need them, but he also needs them scared, right? Like, he needs them to, like, he's not above, like, he talks about loyalty, but he's not above, like, just having fear be the way that he rules. Like, yeah, that's fine by him.
Totally fine with that. Thank you, Master. Thank you, murmured McNair. And here we have Crab. You will do better this time, will you not, Crab? And you, Goyle? They bowed clumsily, muttering dully. Yes, Master. We will, Master.
I just want to stop there. So Crab and Goyle, the children.
Yeah. No, I have the same thought. Yeah.
Are dumb and lumped together and just like, I guess. They're like muscle or whatever. And mm-hmm. like you kind of get the sense that adult
their dads are too.
Are too. They're just like, and you crab, and you going, oh, like, I'm not.
Right.
Like, I had this whole thing for Lucius, this whole thing for McNair. And then I'm like, and y'all too.
Crab and Goyle.
I mean,
it's literally one. Really get, it's like Fitzsimmons.
Right.
But it's, like it's the dumb, Fitz evil version of Fitzsimmons.
Exactly,
crab and Goyle.
Except not smart and not like, yeah. But also, like, I can't even really be like that mad at you because y'all didn't have the brains to do anything anyway.
Right.
Like, you just gonna follow Lucius, which, cool, I guess. You too stupid to matter.
What do they do? Like, I'm trying to figure out how they didn't get caught, and then, like, like, if they're this...
And then, dumb and, and useless.
Right.
I mean, I think...
I really feel like this is the last time we see them, too. Like, this is the only time we see them, isn't it?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure they just get mentioned, like, and then that's matter. It.
Like, they just don't. And, like, the funny thing is that Goyle uses Fianfia, right? Crab or Goyle?
No, nope. Crab does. Crab
okay,
does.
See what I'm saying?
But Goyle does in the movie, that's why.
Oh, yeah, because Crab had to go and get it. Whatever. Anyway, so, also, like, F the movies for making Blaze the Beanie be the stand-in for Crab, because y'all, we all know Blaze ain't about that life. Like, he's like, you want me to do what? No.
He's a Death Eaters. Never experienced that emotion.
Right. He was like, you want me to chase after, do you see this suit I'm wearing? Do you see this? He's fine, this fine silk?
Right.
To chase?
These threads?
After Harry Potter?
Right.
No, I'm sorry, Malfoy. You can have that.
Do that on your own.
Anyway. But, like, at least Crab and Goyle, the children, do something. It's not good.
Right.
It's not smart. They kill themselves. But they do something.
Right.
In that way, they've surpassed their father.
That's such a low bar. The same goes for you, not, said Voldemort quietly.
But they mentioned not. He works at the ministry as well, right?
Possibly. maybe. But his son is in the same year as Harry and Malfoy and them.
Yeah, but I thought Not was...
And also, spoilers, he's supposed to be the one who had the other time turner in the fanfic that shall not be named. Theodore Not.
Yeah,
no. No. It's not how it works.
It
not happening. And that was his son, though, not him.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He would be gone by then.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Portia says he's an unspeakable.
No. I thought that was Rookwood. And he's in prison right now. But maybe he is. I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I feel like Not is in the ministry, and so it's funny how these people, except for Crab and Goyle, but like McNair is back in the ministry, Not is back in the ministry. Lucius never was in the ministry, but he's got his whole like power back. And so these are really the smartest. Like, maybe they aren't the like, most loyal, but then also, like, what, Voldemort, you want all your followers in Azkaban never renouncing you? Like,
yep.
What good would that do you right now? But these are, like, obviously the smartest and most, like, they're the spies. They are, like, the James Bonds. They're the archers of Death Eaters. Like, they're the ones that are, like, making moves, never getting caught, real slippery.
In the corner, in the shadows.
Right.
Yeah.
Lord,
okay.
I prostrate myself before you. I am your most faithful. That'll do.
I'm sorry. Like, this chapter is, like, terrible, but it's actually not, like, at the same time, because this shit is actually hilarious.
The lives of Godric's Hollow right here. This is...
He said,
of it all.
Cool. Yeah, I'm good.
That'll do.
That's so funny. Like,
I also love that. I also love that, like, they have, like, assigned seating, basically, in their
dorm. Right, because it literally goes to the same places this is every time. The
strangest should be.
In this six particular people. Spot. Six missing Death
Here
Eaters.
We have six missing Death Eaters.
Like, how do you know this? Like, really? Every time you call them, they configure themselves in the same circle. And then, like, could you imagine that Death Eater meeting? Can you imagine that Death Eater meeting where, like, they all come? He's like, all right, y'all. So, Lucius, you stand there. Crab and Goyle over here. Bellatrix right here. Like, what?
But that's also, like, probably he's like, y'all know, I can't remember your names unless we stand in the right.
The right place.
This is my device.
Like, what if Crab and Goyle switched places one time? Like,
he would be like, Goyle, no, I'm Crab, you're my lord. Fuck, you know you're supposed to be over here. You know you're supposed to stand to the right. You on the right, he on the left. How am I supposed to keep up with all this?
Oh my god.
Oh, he's like very
Portia says that he's channeling Miranda Priestly. Devil wears Horcrux. I can't. It's way too accurate. Okay, so he says, and then we have six missing Death Eaters, three dead in my service, one too cowardly to return. He will pay. So that's Karkaroff. One who I believe has left me forever. That's Snape. He will be killed, of course.
Of course.
If only. And one, I love how he just says it like offhand, like, he'll be killed. It's cool. and one who remains my most faithful servant, who's already re-entered my service, and that's Barty Crouch Jr.
Which the is Death Eater stirred, right? Because we have this idea that, like, back in his height, he had, like, an army of Death Eaters, right? And, like, really, it seems like he had this core circle, and then everyone else was either, like, pressured into doing his bidding or imperious or whatever, and then this goes back into Toupee Fiasco and our current crisis, but, like, there's this, like, this small but loud and wrong minority, like, backing this dude, and there is no, like, he never had, like, mass popularity. Like, he's always, his approval rating was always 37%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it should stay at 37%. And, like, it's very strange how much damage can be done by a dude with, like, a couple of zealot followers and some fear and some really, like, good spell work. Because, what is this? Like, there's, like, six people here, six people are missing. Three are dead.
Wait.
No. I'm trying to count how many people would be in that circle.
So there's the two Lestranges, and then he only names eight, I think.
Yeah.
Because he names the Lestranges, Snape, Karkaroff, and Barty Crouch Jr., and then the three who are dead.
Right, but then also the people that came back, Avery, McNair,
Lucius,
Crab, Goyle, Knott. So that's six people, and then the eight people that he named, that's 14 people.
Right. But there's also, like, a couple more, and, like, there's, damn it, Rookwood is in Azkaban, Dolohov is in Azkaban.
Right, but I'm like, literally thinking, though, just, like, in terms of, again, we never get, like, really concrete numbers, but in terms of the number of people in the wizarding world in Britain, adult wizards, right, versus the number of, like, Death Eaters in the circle, so they're like the inner circle, I guess. That's still it's a very small number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then those, like, let's say 20 people in his inner circle, right? Those are the ones that go to the, like, that they're the hand of the king. Like, they're the council, the small council are able to, like, kind of run the kingdom. Just with, like, unforgivable curses and, like, the threat of... And I think that there are, like, some people, like, Portia asked, where's Narcissa? Like, I think she's, like, Death Eater adjacent, right? Like,
yeah.
She might run an errand for her, like, husband, right? She's like on their side, but she's not.
But she doesn't. She doesn't have a dark mark. She doesn't.
You know. She don't have a dark mark. She's not like, you know. She's not a soldier, and so I think that there are a lot of people like that, right? Mm-hmm. Who are just like, oh, you want me to like? I just forgot homeboy's name. Who's the head of games and sports?
Ludo Bagman.
Homeboy. Yes. Sorry. So even like Ludo Bagman, like he's not on their side, right? But promise him a spot in the ministry. Like we don't know. Like he did. He says he doesn't. He didn't know that he was doing it for the Death Eaters. But like at the same time, like you were getting like bribed to like run someone's errand. So how trustworthy are you? You know what I mean? Like how or mm-hmm. like what's your moral character? Right. So it's like bribe him with a spot. Like oh well, when I get on, when I get put on, I'm gonna put you on. Like you can get a like you can have a feature on my mixtape, like just do that to enough people and they'll and it works. But it's just really funny how small the inner circle is.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This week's episode of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text is brought to you by MeUndies. Vanessa, my underwear drawer is like the Wild West of wardrobes.
Say more, Matt.
There's no rhyme or reason. Anything goes. I get gifts for like Christmas. There are seasonal underpants and socks. I have pairs from 5 different brands with 5 different fits. When I open my underwear drawer every morning, I have no idea what to expect. But I'll tell you what the best part of my underwear drawer is, Vanessa. It's the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. When I open that underwear drawer, they're always what I reach for first. I know it's time to do the laundry when my unfavorite underwear is all that's left in the drawer.
Matt, my MeUndies underwear is my favorite underwear too. I actually have to do laundry today because I am wearing my last pair of clean MeUndies underwear. From black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. They also, and this is what I love about them, have unmatched comfort. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable and stretchy and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. Get 20% off of your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/HPST. That's MeUndies.com/HPST for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. This week's episode of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text is brought to you by Redfin. Casper, as you know, I just bought a home and I saw my house on Redfin and I was like, that's it. That's my house. And at the showing, all of these other people were also looking at the house. And I was like, what are you doing? Get out of my house. This is my house. I just knew it.
Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. See something you like? Book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. Download the Redfin app to get started.
And don't let other people walk around your house.
Okay.
So he said he is at Hogwarts, that faithful servant, and it was through his efforts that our young friend arrived here tonight. Yes, said Voldemort, Harry Potter has kindly joined us for my rebirthing party. One might go so far as to call him my guest of honor. Like, dude is really extra for no reason.
Rebirthing? Ew.
Rebirth, that does actually sound really gross. Rebirthing party. Wormtail failed because he should have got balloons. They probably have like rebirthing games or something. You know what I mean?
Right. Pin the tail on the baby Horcrux.
The re-baby shower.
You're right.
So there was silence. Then the Death Eater to the right of Wormtail, stepped forward. And Lucius Malfoy's voice spoke from under the mask. Master, we crave to know. We beg you to tell us how you've achieved this miracle. How you managed to return to us. Ah, what a story it is. And it, Voldemort's like, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to spend the next six pages telling you.
I'm so sorry that you would like me to spill this tea. But I also kind of took this as, like, Lucius being ever the opportunist or whatever. It's like, tell me how you did this so I know how to make sure you don't do this again. Bill explained for us, Master, so I know how to, I know what's up.
And it begins, and I would also like to say, like, Voldemort really loves to talk and to hear himself talk. So that's also a thing. It begins and ends with my young friend here. And then here starts the villain's lane. I feel like we need some, like, music to introduce the villain's lane. I mean, I meant for you to, like, insert it post-production, but that's cool as well.
Oh, I mean, that's no fun, but okay.
Okay, so you know, of course, that they have called this boy my downfall. You all know that on the night I lost my powers and my body, I tried to kill him. His mother died in the attempt to save him and unwittingly provided him with a protection I admit I had not foreseen. I could not touch the boy. And then he did a thing that is like one of my favorite gifts, actually. I don't know why it makes me so happy, but it does. So he raised one of his long fingers and put it very close to Harry's cheek. And he said his mother left upon him traces of her sacrifice. This is old magic. I should have remembered it. I was foolish to overlook it, but no matter, I can touch him now. And then Harry like screams with his long finger, and he goes,
did you just touch the screen? I was like, what's happening? Did you touch the video?
The camera.
Oh man.
I was like,
ah!
Exactly.
I'm in this moment.
And that's the point.
I also, like, we just talked about, but, like, he literally explains, like, he overlooked this magic, and then he continues to overlook
it. Like, yeah, absolutely. And that's, dude is, yeah. Like, literally him putting Harry's blood in his body was him overlooking that magic. But, okay, whatever. All right, you can touch him now. Great, good for you. So Harry felt the cold tip of the, right. Felt the cold tip of the long white finger touch him and thought his head would burst open in pain. Voldemort laughed softly in his ear, which is like really, it's kind of gross. Back up. Then took his finger away and continued addressing the Death Eaters. I miscalculated, my friends. Man. I admit it. What?
Do you think that they're swapping blood and getting some of Harry's blood in him really strengthen the fact that Harry can like see into his brain? Like that they can look into each other's mind?
Probably,
We always thought that it was just the Horcrux, right? And then, like, Harry has those dreams. But then, like, after this, and then...
He's, like, really, in Voldemort's...
Yeah.
Head, yeah.
Like, yeah, it doesn't probably. Even happen, like, at night. It happens whenever he's feeling, like, strong emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And probably best. Oh, my God! Sorry. If we can feel bad for Voldemort for just a second, because Harry... gets glimpses into Voldemort's brain when he feels really strong emotions, right? But all Fifth Harry is really strong emotions. So Voldemort,
and that's why he can't
blasted by these like, oh my god, he was a friend or whatever, like all the time.
You know, actually, that can somebody like draw a comic of Voldemort getting like plagued with like teenage angst while he's trying to plan the like overthrow of the Ministry of Magic just randomly. He's just like moody and shit. He's like, no, I don't want to talk. Slams the door or something. Like, oh my god, that's actually hilarious.
Cho cried when we were kissing.
Ah! And then the Death Eaters are like, my lord, fam, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on right now.
Oh my god, Lucius, just leave me alone. I don't want to you talk don't about
nobody
it.
Nobody understands me. I'm just so misunderstood. Everyone's out to get me. Oh.
Well, I never thought that I would feel any sympathy for Voldemort, but there you go.
I think it's funny. That's what he gets for putting a teenager's blood in his body. What?
That's what you,
why
what
would you do that? You so now he has to go through puberty at 70 years old. It's wonderful.
Fam! Like, really? Like, really? That is one thing about... Never mind. Never mind. No. I'm not saying
it. Okay, yeah. Let's move on. No. So... I miscalculated, my friends. I admit it. My curse was deflected by the woman's foolish sacrifice. So again, like, he's still downplaying the power. He's like, I underestimated it, but I'ma still underestimate it. That's literally what he just said.
Like, come on.
And it rebounded upon myself. Pain beyond pain, my friends. Nothing could have prepared me for it. I was ripped from my body. I was less than a spirit, less than the meanest ghost, but still I was alive. What I was, even I do not know. I, who have gone further than anybody along the path that leads to immortality. Aha. You know my goal, to conquer death. And now I was tested, and it appeared that one or more of my experiments had worked, for I had not been killed, though the curse should have done it. Nevertheless, I was as powerless as the weakest creature alive and without the means to help myself, for I had no body, and every spell that might have helped me required the use of a wand. I will say this one thing. But then, like, maybe because he didn't have his body, he couldn't hold the wand, but then, like, how does the wand even... Still questions about that. But one thing I think is interesting, right, is that he, you know, we get this, like, there's this running theme and, like, lesson throughout these stories that there are things worse than death. And it's interesting that he goes through this experience but still thinks death is the worst. Like, he would rather have that than be dead.
Right. I think that for him, conquering death is the ultimate power, right? So that's the thing that, like, even no magic can help you with. And that's the thing that, like, Dumbledore is so kind of enamored with, you know? And, like, what's really funny is that, like, you could totally just conquer death with a sorcerer's stone.
Well, I think that's what he tried. But, like...
Well, no, because he didn't try that at first. Like, he tried that after he lost his body. He went Horcruxes first. Then, oh, maybe I should try to get the Sorcerer's Stone. Which is like, just go make yourself one, fam. You're supposed to be smart. Yeah, I think that, like, for him, it's not that this experience is, like, worse than death. It is that he doesn't think of it as being worse than death because he is like, well, he won. Even when he lost, he won. Right? Even as a wisp and a spirit of him, like, shadow of himself. The weakest creature alive. One of my experiments had worked, for I had not been killed, though the curse should have done it. Nevertheless, I was powerless as the weakest creature alive and without the means to help myself. But he does say one of my experiments had worked, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's like that white man science that we get in the MCU all the time. Like, I'm close. Like, but you almost killed the world, fam. But I'm so close. Yep. Next time, I know what I did wrong. And next time...
Yeah.
It's like, you got Ultron out here pulling strings. You got Ada over here doing shit she shouldn't be doing. Got emotional.
I saw it.
But, like, and they just double down, and you're just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Stop fucking with demons.
I remember only forcing myself sleeplessly, endlessly, second by second to exist. I settled in a faraway place in a forest, and I waited. Surely one of my faithful Death Eaters would try to find me. One of them would come and perform the magic I could not to restore my body, but I waited in vain.
Can we...
They don't... You didn't...
The use of ellipses. The use of... I remember only forcing myself sleeplessly, endlessly, second by second to exist. That, in the context of my life, is so spot on sometimes. Like, just... laying in bed, trying to exist. Like, Joe, Keanu's calling. Go sit. Go.
She's also a permanent resident of the feelings bench.
To the bench with you.
I would also like to say two things. Yes, two things. One, again, you see how he threw that in there that we were just talking about, like, a couple minutes ago. He threw that in there.
None of y'all sorry ass
that came to find me.
That came to find me.
Also, like, did he, like, you knowing him, he didn't have a plan. Right. For like, if I get defeated,
why didn't he tell at least one of them the plan?
Exactly. But what I'm thinking is, and that's what I was thinking. But then he probably didn't have a plan because he didn't think he would ever get defeated. But my thing is like, have a contingency. Because again, he's like so up here with it that he's like, oh y'all, I'll never come down. I'm good. I don't need a plan. I don't need a backup. Like, I don't need to tell anybody where I'm going. Like, if you say, hey, if anything happens to me, go to that forest in Albania, they'd be like, cool. Voldemort's gone. There's a forest in Albania he told us to go to. But
Imani pulling the black mama, though, if I have to tell you to do it, then what's the point?
Not to do it, but like where to do it, though. Like, they just gonna be searching the world.
If I have to tell you, you already failed.
What if there's this one Death Eater who's just like roaming around the countryside and has been for 13 years and never found him? And then he like comes and Voldemort's like, I'm disappointed. He's like,
I waited in
bro, there. I've been here 13 years looking around the world, didn't find you, not nowhere.
You know how many forests there are in Britain? You know how much wilderness there is in Britain? And your ass is over here in Albania? Bruh, I had to get my passport renewed. Like,
and you mad at me?
Look at all these stamps. And you mad at me?
That's when you have to pull out the receipts, though. You can't just tell them that. You got to be like, look, I was here, 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 and here. I was looking for you the whole time.
Look at all these stamps. This is the problem with apparition. You don't have no receipts.
Imani said that Carmen Sandiego was one of the missing Death Eaters. That's where she was.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? She off looking for Voldemort.
Looking for Voldemort. Oh my god.
Can't drop a hint. Person said can't drop a hint. Like, one of my favorite places is Albanian woods.
Right. Something. Right. Like, throw them a bone. Like, give them something to go off of.
Right.
Like, nobody was expecting you to be gone, so I don't understand. Okay, so.
It's like, you told us that you couldn't be defeated.
Right, so we thought.
And we just thought you went on vacation, and we was like, well, we'll just wait here. Because you know they always say, when you get lost, just stay still, and then someone will come find you. I know this as a person that got lost all the time growing up. My brother also told me the other day, sorry, this is like a little bit of a tangent, that like I remember getting lost a lot, and he was like, well, by the end of it, we just knew that you would like, you had wandered off to the bookstore and we could get our shopping done, so we would just let you be lost for a long time. We knew where to go when we were ready.
Damn.
That's rude. Like, yeah, well, you know, you'd be at the bookstore. It's usually where we are, in the book section, or sleep. I used to sleep in those little, like, fake beds when I was a baby.
You would sleep in them, like, at the store?
Yeah, you know the, like, the little mini beds, the display beds?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I remember a couple times trying to, like, lay myself on a king's bed, and my mom being like, get your ass off. What are you doing?
My mom would just be like, she gonna be there! I got stuff to do. She'd be holding me up. I'll be back for her later. I just crawl in.
That's so wonderful. Okay.
Like, we have only beds. Like, look at how this works. You see how comfortable that sleeping baby is? Look at her. Body sheets.
Free advertising. Right. So only one power remained to me. I could possess the bodies of others, but I dared not go where other humans were plentiful, for I knew the Aurors were still abroad and searching for me.
My God, Portia. She said that one song about being around the world and not finding her baby was written by Bellatrix. Been around the world, nah, yeah, yeah. I can't find my baby. I can't find my Voldy. I don't know and I don't know why. Why he's gone away.
Sorry. Oh my God.
Sorry. That wasn't me. That was Portia.
I know. Okay, I sometimes inhabited animals. We're just going to go right back to him possessing
people. Being a warg.
Kind of. Yeah. It's definitely warg. Snakes, of course, being my preference, but I was a little better off inside them than as pure spirit, for their bodies were ill-adapted to perform magic, and my possession of them shortened their lives, and none of them lasted long. Then, 4 years ago, now we're just going to get a summary of Sorcerer's Stone. A wizard, young, foolish, and gullible, wandered across my path in the forest. I had made my home. Oh, he's seen.
With Pearl.
the very chance I've been dreaming of, for he was a teacher at Dumbledore School. He was easy to bend to my will. He brought me back to this country, and after a while, I took possession of his body to supervise him closely as he carried out my orders. Real quick, so the animals that he possessed, did they also have, like, his head, his face in the back of their heads? Because that would really suck.
Oh, man. But that would be awesome to look at.
I would be terrified, but...
Like, you would be terrified, still. But also, you would be like, see, those are those, like, that's why you have all other animals are weird enough, but you got a wizard's face in the back. You deserve it. You got to be hidden.
I took possession of his body to supervise him closely as he carried out my orders, but my plan failed. I did not manage to steal the Sorcerer's Stone. I was not to be assured a mortal life. I was thwarted once again by Harry Potter. Like, you know, you're saying this, but you're also like, Harry ain't shit, but he did defeat me when he was 11 too, though.
Right. And this is when I'm like, okay. Peter is like, so wait, you saying
he got you twice?
You got by a 1-year-old, and then that same 1-year-old got you again when he was 11. There might be something to this chosen one thing, though, fam.
And then it's really funny, right? Is he still doesn't know that he also got God a third time. He doesn't realize he got God a third time in the Chamber of Secrets. He gonna find that out and be pissed as fuck. That's why Lucius gets punished. Really, he's like, you let me get God when I wasn't even another man. Damn. Okay, so silence once more. Nothing stirred, not even the leaves on the yew tree. The Death Eaters are still, you know, listening. The servant died when I left his body, and I was left as weak as I ever had been. I returned to my hiding place far away. He got all the way back to Albania from Hogwarts. Like, I'm trying to figure out how he got there if he's so weak. Like, how you...
He'd be flying and then rested in animals, sleeping, get up, fly a little bit, rest. And another animal. He should have possessed a freaking bird, an owl, and took it to
something.
Maybe that's what he did. Maybe he possessed a bird. Went to the owlery at Hogwarts. Possessed a bird. He tried to possess Hedwig, and she was like, bitch, you wish. God, keep moving.
Bitch, you guessed it.
Go find one of them barn owls. I don't know who you looking at over here. She did one of them up and down, like the whole spirit, like, keep it pushing. And then he went down to barn owl and in Albania. That's what it says. It says it on page 654. That's what happened.
Check it out. So he says, I returned to my hiding place far away, and I will not pretend to you that I didn't then fear I might never regain my powers. Yes, that was perhaps my darkest hour. I could not hope that I would be sent to another wizard. Sorry, I could not hope that I would be sent another wizard to possess. And I had given up hope now that any of my Death Eaters cared what had become of me. Again, had to insert that in again. Just one more time. And then not even a year ago, when I had almost abandoned hope, it happened at last. A servant returned to me. Because it went down at midnight. Or before midnight. Stupid.
Went down.
Wormtail here, who had faked his own death to escape justice, was driven out of hiding by those he had once counted friends and decided to return to his master.
Wait, how are you going to say that in front of a bunch of folk that lied to escape justice? Like,
he's just petty.
He didn't denounce you.
Right.
He's salty. Like, he faked his own death. Like,
okay.
Lucius over here talking about he was imperious the whole time. I didn't do it. That wasn't me, yo.
Mm-hmm. But, you know. So he saw it. So, okay, I'm going to kind of summarize now, because it's just, again, 6 pages of him just telling us what he did. So Wormtail came and helped. And then, really quickly, there is this one sentence that I like. He says, his filthy little friends, which are the rats, which I'm like, you barely a spirit, but you looking down on rats. Though. Mm-hmm. Okay, so his filthy little friends told him that there was a place deep in the Albanian forest that they avoided, where small animals like themselves had met their deaths by a dark shadow that possessed them. So again, you were possessing rats, but they're filthy. Okay, that's cool. But also, that's really oddly specific and, like, kind of poetic. Met their deaths by a dark shadow. And you're just like, okay. They probably were like, hey, bro, don't go over there.
Right, I also love the idea of, like, animals being like, nah, fam, don't go there. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
Don't fuck with demons.
Also, the idea that, like, Peter can speak rat when he has one. I don't know why that's funny to me, but it is. Like, can Sirius speak dog? That would be great. We just see him having a conversation.
Well, Sirius does kind of talk to Crookshank, so
That's true, but Crookshanks
are they like understand each other?
But Crookshanks isn't really a cat. Or like, yeah, like he is, but he's not.
Yeah.
Wormtail runs into Bertha Jorkins and he convinces her to accompany him on a nighttime stroll, which is like, Bertha, come on, fam. Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
Who's been like dead for 13 years and you're just like, oh yeah, sure, I'll go on a walk with you. It just doesn't seem smart.
I had to pull up a map of Europe. Albania is so goddamn far. He's going down to Greece. Like, you mad at them because they didn't go all the way down there? Like, you so far away. Damn.
Like, he didn't hide.
You so damn far. In, like, they got to go through France and Italy and then to cross a boat. So they already, like, because Britain's already on an island. So you got to go down into the channel, into the, like, the English Channel. And then you got to go through 1, 2, 3, 4 countries plus possibly 5 plus going through, like, 2 bodies of water, maybe 3, depending on how you like to travel. That is some shit. Like, you getting on my case, and you took your ass all the way to Albania? France wasn't good enough for you?
Nope.
Dublin? You couldn't go to Ireland?
Nope.
Couldn't go to Scotland?
Nope.
Couldn't go to Scotland. You couldn't even go up to, like, Sweden and the Scandinavians?
Wait, but then he went to Scotland, and then took his ass all the way back to Albania. That's why I'm sitting here like, why did you go that far if you're that weak? Like, why
are you that far?
And why?
Why didn't you go to Iceland? Ain't nobody live in Iceland, and it's still closer. Well, I don't know if it's closer. Yeah.
Still, these questions.
But then a direct flight to from Britain. From London to Britain, direct. I don't know. And like, what's the biggest city in Albania? Questions. I don't think that there's a direct flight. I'm looking.
She's out here on Google Flights, like, how do we get to Albania?
Really, yeah.
from Godric's Hollow. While you do that, I'm gonna
You probably gotta fly into Croatia. Ljubljana. Boy, if you don't get, you gotta go past Bosnia, Herzegovina, through Serbia. I'm mad. I'm so mad. How are you so salty? Why'd you go so far away?
Dude.
My dude.
Like none of it makes sense.
Y'all need to pull up a map of Europe though, like, and like track them miles.
Excuse me, sir. Can you explain this, please?
Do the drop down world map.
Could you just what do you think about this? Why would any of us assume Albania?
Albania.
But okay.
So bad.
Yeah, so Wormtail overpowered Bertha and brought her to Voldemort. She became a veritable mine of information, telling him about the Triwizard Tournament, about a faithful Death Eater who would be willing to help him. And then she told him all these things because he broke the memory charm that had been placed upon her. And then after that, her mind and body were both damaged beyond repair. She had now served her purpose. I could not possess her. I disposed of her. Which is like...
rude AF.
Super rude.
28 hours by car via the A8. 28 hours. That's 1,583 miles. Plus, those routes have tolls. The route includes a car transport. The route crosses multiple countries, and your destination is in a different time zone. Google is letting you know this is not the way you want to do it.
If you fly to Toronto, it's
2 hours and 55 minutes. If you can get a direct flight, and I don't think you can, for at least $285 American dollars. Are you going to reimburse me, sir? My lord? My liege? Can I expense this? What are you talking about?
I write it
if you go in the E55, if you go through the E55, in which case you don't have to do the tolls, it'll take you 31 hours.
Goddamn.
So you add 3 hours to your trip, but you might save some money.
But then after that, you have to find which forest in this country.
Right.
And then
that's just taking you to the capital.
Right.
That's taking you to the capital, and he's probably off in some, like, he's not in the forest near the capital. This is a lot of work.
Yeah. Because then once where do you look, right? It's an entire country. You have to find the right correct forest, then you have to find the place in the forest. How the fuck Wormtail found it, I will never know, because...
Wormtail! Like, I didn't do walking. I should have probably done walking.
because he's a rat.
28 hours by car.
Well, he might have apparated.
A little bit. I don't think Wormtail, I mean, he had to do several apparitions,
because you can't go that far, you're gonna get splinched. So maybe he like goes to like, but then even that would take forever. Then there's no point in operating if you just only got to go.
Right. And then Portia brings up a good point. Are none of them anime guy? And that, can they not converse with animals for clues? Because only is only Wormtail an anime guy.
Right.
Right. So animagi.
I believe so, because unless they're.
But then also like only Harry could be like a parcel tongue talking to snakes.
Right.
Amani said send Voldy an invoice. Where is Death Eater HR on this? I have questions because I'm going to need to be reimbursed my leash.
Yeah.
You got all that golden in vaults.
13 years? Like, you don't got a job.
All that interest racking up?
For this dude for 13 years? Where is the money coming from to, like...
Where?
To pay for this, to fund this endeavor? I'm not...
I'm confused.
Understanding.
I'm really mad at this.
Okay,
I'm really
let's continue.
I'm really disappointed. Voldemort, I'm very disappointed. I'm not mad.
Just
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
So Wormtail's body, of course, was ill-adapted for possession, as all assumed him dead, and would attract far too much attention if noticed. However, he was a servant he needed, so Wormtail was able to give him a rudimentary weak body of his own, a body that he would be able to inhabit while awaiting the essential ingredients for true rebirth, and a spell or two of his own invention, and a little help from Nagini. A potion concocted from unicorn blood and snake venom. So again, he's still living that half-life, that curse life. Still.
Also, shout out to whoever, when Starbucks did that unicorn frappuccino.
And they were like, yeah, that was wonderful.
Said, y'all not know whoever drinks this will live a half-life, a cursed life? And I was like, I ain't getting that. Well, also, it looked gross.
It looked gross, but once I saw that, I was like,
I saw that meme, and I was like, you right, fam. Check us.
Ain't finna get me.
They tried to get us. Starbucks tried to get us, but we know. They're about to live that half-life.
Constant vigilance, man. Ah,
constant vigilance, my homie. I see you. Thank you.
Okay, so he was able to return to...
chapter.
Yo. This chapter is actually kind of lit. Every time I read it after this, I'll think of all these things. So he said, I was soon returned to an almost human form and strong enough to travel. But dude, you got all the way to Albania. So you did all that, but you still couldn't get back to Britain on your own.
He spent all his energy getting to Albania so he could have a good sulk, angsty bully time, listen to Dashboard Confessional in the woods, in the dark.
None of these things add up. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Somebody's not telling us. So there was no hope of stealing the Sorcerer's Stone anymore. I knew Dumbledore would have seen to it that it was destroyed. I set my sights lower. I would settle for my old body back again and my old strength. Just like he sounds, he's like,
set my sights lower.
You know, whatever. I mean, if I have to. Just like, I mean, ungrateful.
Fucking Dumbledore. He's probably destroyed that stone. I mean, I guess I can have my old body back. Ugh. I was really hoping for a six pack because, you know, like I was just never able to get that definition that I wanted.
And a nose as well.
Nose! Right, you didn't get your old body back, bro. You ain't got no nose!
So good.
You ain't got no nose!
I mean, maybe he didn't have a nose beforehand because of all the Horcrux situations, but like, I just...
Mm-mm.
This is a perplexing chapter, I would just like to say.
Also, like, he literally says he made spell, like, he invented a spell, he made a potion, and he did all of this, and was like, well, the Sorcerer's Stone's destroyed. Like, but bitch, Nicholas Flamel created the Sorcerer's Stone. You smart, put your nose in a book, and, like, reverse engineer that shit. Nah, I guess I'll just get my old body back. I mean...
Yeah. He's too weak, remember?
So
he says, I knew that to achieve this, it is an old piece of dark magic, and the potion that revived me tonight, I would need three powerful ingredients. Well, one of them I already had. Was it not one of? Sorry, I have to say it like how it's actually written because it is a pun. Well, one of them was already at hand. Was it not Wormtail? Okay, Voldemort. High five. That was a good one. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Flash given by a servant.
Oh, anyway. Portia brings up a good point that, like, Voldy found the place in Albania because of the Grey Lady. So there must be something in there, like a hot spring or something that, like, is important for him. Right. Like, it got them, he got them stones. It got like purifying waters or something. Like, I don't know. Like, there's some reason that he traveled his happy ass all the way down to Albania, crossing multiple countries with tolls and a 28-hour journey. Oh, and God. Or a $285 for starting. But you know how Google's like, if that's the lowest price they can find. So the lowest price was $285.
Yeah. That's probably on
starting
Spirit.
At $285.
You don't want to do that.
Probably. you can't bring any check in, like check on. No, you can't bring like, carry on. Like, you got to pay to check in early. Like, it's just, you know, you got to pay for everything, nickel and dime. You probably stow it away. Like, I'd have done that. If I'm just like a Spirit.
A person to get to take a flight. To Albania.
Right.
That's actually pretty
first smart. Class life though.
Yep, exactly.
I'm gonna need you to upgrade.
Only the finest.
Like, but damn, this flight already cost me $285. No, we're gonna need to upgrade. Cause I need first class and I need an aisle seat. Oh, okay, Boldy. Okay, my lord. I guess I'll take out that second loan. I'll get another credit card. Don't worry. You'll get miles. Hey,
why is he? Why does he have a broke muggle? Why is he possessing a broke muggle?
Cause how? Who else you gonna get? He gonna possess no titan of industry and convince him to go to Albania. He possesses the home dude, like the homeless dude on the street who's like. Nobody want to talk to, you know, that one that would just be yelling at corners. He's like, that guy. That's my guy. No one's going to miss him. Now let's take out some loans. I know. Oh, this got dark. The Death Eaters got dark.
Okay, to continue that, my father's bone, naturally, which meant we had to come here where he was buried, but the blood of a foe. Wormtail would have me use any wizard. Would you not, Wormtail? Any wizard who had hated me, as so many of them still do, but I knew the one I must use if I were to rise again, more powerful than I had been when I had fallen, I wanted Harry Potter's blood, which again is like not really
so extra.
True. Like, it's really all about the symbolism, right? Like, he says, I wanted the blood of the one who stripped me of power 13 years ago for the lingering protection his mother once gave him would then reside in my veins too, which is like, yeah, but that's not really how that works. But then also, yeah, it's about the symbolism. He's like, I'm stronger. You defeated me. Okay, cool. Now I got your blood. Now what? What you gonna do? So yeah.
I am going to priority incantatum your motherfucking ass. What? Say something. I got you when I was 1. I got you when I was 11. I got you when I was 13, 14. Nope. Let's go.
12. Yep.
Got you when I was 12. I got you when I was 14. Let's do this. Dynasty undefeated.
What is this? This is four-peat. Four-peat, man.
Four-peat!
Okay, so but how to get at Harry Potter? For he had been better protected than I think even he knows, protected in ways devised by Dumbledore long ago when it fell to him to arrange the boy's future. Dumbledore invoked an ancient magic to ensure the boy's protection as long as he was in his relation's care. Not even I can touch him there. Then, of course, there was the Quidditch World Cup, but I was not yet strong enough to attempt a kidnap. And then the boy returned to Hogwarts, where he was under the crooked nose of that muggle-loving fool from morning until night. How could I take him? Why? By using Bertha Jorkins' information, of course. Like, this...
Also, the comedian's like,
he's twirling his non-existent mustache right now. He's just like, stroking his beard.
Right. I like... Oh, Portia said he's immune to Harry, but not Dumbledore.
Exactly.
But can I?
I love that, how he's afraid of, like, he's not afraid of the dude who actually beat him like 3 times, but like Dumbledore, he's like shivers in his boots.
Right, but he also like he like you know like you be talking it is the Debo Smokey thing from Friday. I got mind control over Dumbledore. He say shut up, I'll be quiet. But when he leave, I'll be talking again. Like, this is the whole, like, Voldemort is going through hoops to not deal with Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. But also, this isn't the first time that we hear that Dumbledore invoked an ancient magic to ensure the boy's protection as long as he's in his relation's care. Not even I can touch him there. This is the first time that we, like, know why he has to go back to the Dursleys.
Right.
But, again, an ancient magic to ensure, like, and then he discounts. Like, it's just like
he keeps just He's like, I know about this magic, but I have no use for it, so whatever. Also, Portia brings up, she brought up before, but I forgot to mention, the 70-year-old keeps bringing up how he'd like to touch a 14-year-old, which is, you know, a thing that I think often because it's creepy. But, you know, he also wants to murder him, so then I'm like, semantics.
We're also at a rebirthing party, so it's been gross the whole time.
It's a lot of things.
Don't forget where we at right now. Don't forget where we at, y'all. We had a rebirth. A rebirth. Yeah.
So he stationed one of his faithful death. He keeps calling. He's like, this faithful Death Eater I have at Hogwarts, by the way. Y'all ain't shit. You didn't come find me for 13 years. But this faithful Death Eater I have stationed at Hogwarts.
This my man. Wormtail, who found my faithful, or I guess didn't find my faithful Death Eater, but like
provided
helped me get to my faithful. He ain't shit either. But my
faithful
Death Eater.
And I also love how like he's telling this entire thing, but still won't say who the Death Eater is.
Right. But I mean, through process of elimination, like you're thinking either.
Well, no, because you think one of the three who's dead is Junior then, right? Because he's supposed to be dead.
Oh, right. But he says no, because as we established, they all have assigned seating in the circle of death. Okay. So they would know Barty Crouch's spot. So he's like, oh, the six of them. So in the six of them, three are dead. So they're like, ooh, one of the people that we thought dead, because shouldn't four be dead? So one of them isn't dead.
But they might not know who it is. It's just one of those four.
One of those four, right. But then they also could still think it's Snape, even though he says, like, I fear he's left me forever. I'm going to kill him. And the other one
is at Hogwarts.
Is at Hogwarts.
That's actually true, because when I did read this the first time, I did think it might have been Snape.
Yeah. And like the other, and like how he like says Karkaroff, what does he say? He goes, here we have six missing Death Eaters, three dead in my service, who we also think that one of those is Regulus. One too cowardly to return, he'll pay. So you could think, you don't know, is that one Karkaroff or is that one Snape? One who I believe has left me forever, he will be killed, of course. That could be either one of them. And one who remains my most faithful servant. So you have these three and you're like, oh, well, which one's who? Which one's which? Right? Right.
And then he says, like, maybe the next page or something that he, or later, that he has a faithful servant at Hogwarts. Then he says
at Hogwarts.
So then when he specifies that it's at Hogwarts, then you think, oh, yeah, that's true. Karkaroff is at Hogwarts. But I didn't think it was Karkaroff. Karkaroff was clearly scared out of his wits. He was like, I'm about to go.
But we know that. The Death Eaters don't know that is what I'm saying. Like, so with the Death Eaters in that circle are like, oh, damn, one of these, at least two of them
at Hogwarts. Right.
Isn't dead. And two of them we know is at Hogwarts.
Right. And so, like, even that's what Harry's thinking, too, is, like, two people are at Hogwarts. And then also, and, like, Portia says that Harry probably thinks it's Snape because he's the red herring, which is like, of course, right? It's always like, I think it's this person, but it's really this person. That's like classic Harry Potter. Every time.
Which, like, shout out to Hermione, who's like, we always think it's Snape. That's so boring. Can we try someone else, please? Yeah.
It's like, dude, we said that last
time. Oh my God.
I keep bringing up old shit.
Why do we always have to go to Snape?
Okay, so he says, use my Death Eater to ensure the
players
won the tournament, and he touched the Triwizard Cup first, the cup which my Death Eater had turned into a portkey, which would bring him here beyond the reach of Dumbledore's help and protection and into my waiting arms, and here he is, the boy you all believed had been my downfall. Shoot, you just admitted a page ago that you also believed he had been your downfall, so I don't understand why you're so salty.
Because they did not spend $285 at least. Minimum to come to Albania.
And how many galleons is that as well? Because like there's the exchange rate,
right? Plus Brexit.
Well, no, this is the 90s.
I mean, this is pre-Brexit, but
this
still. No, but the 90s they went through. This is under Margaret Thatcher, so they went through austerity too. So they were in a recession. So, gotta hurt. Things the pocketbook for something that you're not quite sure about. Also, though, I just have to. He says, use my Death Eater to ensure the boy won the tournament, that he touched the Triwizard Cup first, the cup which my Death Eater had turned into a portkey. It's like, you know that thing about, like, the most circuitous route, or, I don't forget, it's like Occam's Razor or whatever, like, when in doubt, it's the easiest thing is probably right. Like, why did we do all this, fam? This seems, like, really complicated and confusing, and, like, you could have just tried to get him at the Quidditch World Cup. It seems like... It seems like it would have been a better idea.
He cares about Harry's education. That's actually also the funniest thing, right? Like, not only does he care, like, not only does he wait till the end, because that's, like, the meme that, like, Harry always, like, Voldemort always waits till the end of Harry's school year to, like, try to come for him. This year, he also had his Death Eater teach him defense against the Dark Arts.
But also, like, his Death Eater couldn't, like, he couldn't, it wasn't, like, I don't think Voldemort, if Voldemort would be like, could you not give him all the tools he needs to defeat me, please? But, like, Barty Crouch Jr. is just so excited to, like, show off. You know what I mean? He just gotta, like...
like, literally teaches him all of these curses. Like, later in the next chapter, he uses the Imperious Curse on Harry. Who taught Harry how to withstand the Imperious Curse? Yo fucking faithful-ass Death Eater at Hogwarts. That's what you get. Like, I'm just... it's really funny. It's really funny.
Right. So Deborah says, one, I better know my British Prime Minister, is which y'all guys, I kind of have a thing for the Brits. I don't know what
I'm talking about. It's interesting.
It's Harry Potter's fault.
Never thought.
You never would have thought that? Okay. I spent my whole life watching Masterpiece Theater. But also, could this meeting have been an email, which is like...
This is literally six pages of him.
That is in my day.
One, two, three, four, five. So yeah, six pages of him just being like, well, let me tell you what I did.
You couldn't send me outposts for this? Like, because it's not a...
I've been standing here for how long? Point.
Can we just not have... Okay. Okay. I guess.
Okay, so he says, so Voldemort moves slowly forward and he uses the Cruciatus Curse on Harry. And then it was like, sorry,
it was he's in a lot of pain. Beyond and then anything Harry had ever experienced.
Yeah.
Which is then it was gone. Shit.
Right. But also, like, he's feeling pain, but he's also feeling pain, like, doubly in his scar as well. So that's some other, other shit. And then it was gone. He was hanging limply in the ropes, binding him to the headstone of Voldemort's father, looking into those bright red eyes through a kind of mist. The night was ringing with the sound of the Death Eater's laughter. You see, I think, how foolish it was to suppose that this boy could ever be stronger than me. But I want there to be no mistake in anybody's mind. Harry Potter escaped me by a lucky chance, and I am now going to prove my power by killing him. Here and now, in front of you all, when there is no Dumbledore to help him and no mother to die for him, I will give him this chance. He will be allowed to fight, and you will be left in no doubt which of us is stronger. Just a little longer, Nagini, he whispered. So, again, theatrics. He's all about the drama. Like, he spent all the time, all the shit that he went through, and then he's like, it's as we've been saying, like, he's overestimating the power that he has, underestimating the power that has clearly defeated him time and again, but he's like, it may have defeated me this time, that time, but it's not gonna do it this time, let me show you. And it's like, change up your tactic, fam.
But also, like, this is so, just like the parallels between this dude and Tupé, like, I just, like, let me go on Twitter and tell all y'all my evil plan, and then let me tell you how I obstructed justice, but you can't get me, though. You can't get me, though.
Like, and then, like, dude is really insecure.
Fake news.
Like, that's the other thing. Come on, the insecurity of that person, and also Voldemort, right? Like, he's doing all, like, really, he could have been killed Harry. Harry's tied up. Avada Kedavra, move on with your life.
Just cut Worm's throat. Could have had Wormtail cut his throat quick and easy.
Like, it's
but now
easiest
the other part of this too is that now we're gonna duel and I'm gonna get God again. And I did all of this to prove to you guys who was like, who's number one and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, my bad. Well, what happened was,
he doesn't win. So then how do you come back from that? You spent all this time talking about how you were so much better than this boy. And then you actually end up losing for a fourth time.
And again, I'm saying to the Death Eaters, you're like, so he got you when he was one. And then he got you again when he was 12. And then he got you again. And then he got you again right in front of my face. So why am I here?
Just
could you cut me that check for that flight I took to Albania? Yeah, you know, that one. And that commute, because I had to rent a car because, you know, like, my car just, like, really couldn't handle the mouths of going across the country and through pay tolls. So could you just cut me that check and then I'm gonna go.
So let's go to MVP and bench. Who is your MVP?
My MVP was one Lily Evans.
That's a good one. I really like, that's a really good one.
Cause I just want to go back. Like we got to kind of go way back, but he like straight up talks ish about his mama when he like, while he's getting his entire origin story wrong. You stand, Harry Potter, upon the remains of my late father, a muggle and a fool, very much like your dear mother. Bitch, you don't know my mama. And was my mama? My mama was a fool, but who was all up in the woods possessing rats and shit for the past 13 years? Who the fool now? So
yeah.
So I gotta go with that Lily Evans.
Yeah. I'm going to say Lily too. I wrote Harry initially, but it was a question mark because I was like, he's not really in this chapter.
Right.
Like, he's who we see the chapter through, but he's not doing anything. And so I was going to do him by default, but I like Lily better as like the person because, yeah, he's not doing
anything. Amani also made Lily the MVP for having her sacrifice ultimately save her son and all his friends and not leaving her wand on the couch when they knew they were in hiding. James, you're so salty. You've been reading too much Voldemort. You just... Damn. Deborah made Harry Potter the MVP for sitting through Voldy's villain slaying, which is like, yeah.
That's right.
That was hard. And he got Crucio'd. He was like, I had to listen to all that, and you go Crucio'd. Wasn't the past six pages Crucio'd?
He took a nap in the middle, then he woke up, and he's like, ah, fuck, you still... Damn.
He's still talking. Okay, fam. Portia made Frank MVP for being a mere muggle, but taking on this lunatic earlier. So
that's real.
Those are MVPs.
Benched. Voldemort.
Wormchild. I'm kidding. It's Voldemort. Come on, guys. You know. He just sat here.
Voldemort. Like, no one else really doesn't. Like, this is all Voldemort. Like, literally.
He was like, excuse me.
Clear, I haven't been here in a while.
Everyone up. Everyone up, if you could exit towards the left, I need to stretch out. I got a lot of time and a lot of seats to be taken.
Mm-hmm. It's been 13 years, you know?
Right. So everyone in the chat bench Voldemort. Amani says, for expecting people to show up to Albania for the worst destination party ever and villain planning and still getting it wrong when Barty did all the hard work, did all that hard work all year.
Mm-hmm.
True. Imagine how Barty feels when he's like, wait, if you fell though? So I'm
going down. Wait, when Harry comes back?
But you fell though? Harry comes back and he's like, my dude!
I just spent all the time, I hand delivered this dude to you and...
I did everything!
Oh my goodness.
That's
hilarious.
What? Ugh. I'm out of apologies potion. How am I supposed to? We were supposed to be done. Yay, we get a shade award.
Yeah, Portia also wants to give the shade award to Voldemort for laying into the Death Eaters with truth, saltiness, and redemption. That's true. Like, he lost the chapter, but he definitely won in some aspects.
The shade awards. He said,
it was amazing.
I do not forgive, and I do not forget. Now let me list all the ways in which you have disappointed me.
Exactly.
Sit down, get comfortable. I got 13 years.
You're going to be here a
worth of waves that you disappointed me.
Cool. So thank you for listening. Next week, we will discuss chapter 34 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Priori Incantatum. Make sure to read and follow along. It's lit. I'm excited for this.
It's lit.
Also, there's going to be a lot of feelings. So, who knows? Lots of things will happen. Make sure to read and follow along.
I was pleasantly surprised
with this chapter?
With the light and fluffy way that we came at this. Good on us. High five. Yeah. Others would see this chapter and just wallow in the terribleness of it all. But we, the team, we did it.
Yep, great.
Silver lining.
Don't forget to let us know who you think is the real MVP and who is benched for the chapter and all the chapters previous. As well.
If you did not bench Voldemort this chapter, you can't sit with us.
Well, I mean, maybe they have a real, like, a valid...
You gotta explain it. You cannot just be like, bench Lucius and no explanation. Like, I need to know why. I need to know. Sure. How about that?
Yeah. And don't forget, you can let us know your thoughts on Twitter. Use the hashtag WizardTeam. Check out our other content at blackgirlscreate.org. And Yeah, you know where to find us. It's been 90.
We'll see y'all next week, yo!
We out here.
We're gonna be doing the damn thing.
This week's episode of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text is brought to you by Redfin. Casper, as you know, I just bought a home and I saw my house on Redfin. And I was like, that's it. That's my house. And at the showing, all of these other people were also looking at the house. And I was like, what are you doing? Get out of my house. This is my house. I just knew it.
Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations, so finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. See something you like? Book a tour straight from the app, and when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. Download the Redfin app to get started.
And don't let other people walk around your house.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I am so excited to tell you that What Matters, our 2024-2025 season registration, is now open. If you don't know, What Matters is a 28-week class that we think of as our version of Divinity School. Having gone to Divinity School, I was like, everyone should get to do this. Everyone should get to have a dedicated season to thinking about what matters to them and how they can live up to their values. And we have tried to condense that experience into half a year while still making it spacious enough that there's time, but also not making you quit your job and go to school for 3 years. It's facilitated by me, my friends Mauricio Bruce and Michaela Bly. Mauricio is a brilliant chaplain and therapist. Michaela is a Grand Slam winning storyteller. The program is divided into 3 units, each focused on a different novel. You also get one-on-one chaplaincy time. You get small group time. It's an incredibly special small class. Our next cohort begins August 21st and will run through March 12th. Payment plans and scholarships are available. Go to notsorryworks.com to reserve your spot today.